Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you tonight. I don't think all the doll fans that we would like to see are here, but we hope that they enjoy the game. There is quite a bit of competition with our meeting here tonight, and so it is in other assemblies as well. However, it's good for us to gather in the house of the Lord, and as we spend a little time in His presence, I would like to read a passage from the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35. Read just a few verses from beginning at verse 9. Numbers chapter 35, verse 9. Now the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye are come over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee there, who killeth any person unintentionally. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone who killeth any person unintentionally may flee there. We trust that God will add His blessing to the reading of His precious word. Cities of refuge. Places of safety for those who had unintentionally committed a crime. Now, I have never been really computerized. Maybe some of you are very acquainted with the computer activities in which millions of people are involved today. Most members of my family, even the kids in school, we attended a school function for little kids starting out, and my daughter and her husband were not able to go, so they asked Mom and Dad to go along. So grandparents went to see the youngsters introduced to school life. And we went to the school that morning. It was the Sandpiper. You ever heard of Sandpiper? On Hiatus Road. Went to that school and had a tour of the facilities. The very first room that we visited was the computer lab, where the teacher told us this is where we introduce the students, kindergarten kids, to the computer. And every kid is supposed to have access to one of these computers, and I'm amazed at how much they grasp, how much they know. As a matter of fact, I would say the Lord has blessed us with 13 grandchildren and 4 great-grands, and all these little ones, they know more about the computer than I do. They send me emails all the time. And one of the emails that we received recently, I'm going to read it for you because it has a bearing on what I want to say to you tonight. An email. It's entitled Security System. And God has provided a security system for us. I believe that the Lord is very interested in our safety and our security. He's very interested in that, and He has made provision for us. Now, here's the email. A horrible thing happened to me today. A thief broke into my house. That's awful. Don't know how many of you have had that experience, but it's terrible. Thief broke into my house. It happened shortly after I woke this morning. I got up and began rushing around. I had 1,000 things on my list and was already running behind. Quickly, I gulped down breakfast, took a shower, and got ready for work. In my rush, I forgot to turn the security system on at my house. It was just about 30 minutes later that the thief broke in. Of course, he didn't make a sound, just kind of snuck inside, not drawing any attention to himself. In fact, none of the neighbors ever saw him. But I did. You see, I was at home when he broke in. He naturally startled me as I was unprepared for his visit. He, of course, didn't announce that he was coming, and I certainly had not invited him over. And yet I found myself face to face with serious danger, and I felt so powerless. I also felt so very stupid. Because this whole incident could have been avoided if I had just taken the time to turn the security system on. You better believe I'll be turning it on tomorrow morning. I hope that you do too. Turn it on tomorrow morning. I thought I'd warn you about this guy, this intruder. Because he is still on the loose. Chances are, he's right here in our area. Possibly even headed for your house. His name is Satan. You see, this morning when I jumped up in my haste to get started on my busy day, I skipped my prayer time, opting to pray later in the day. In other words, I didn't turn on the security system. My defense wasn't on. My guard was dropped. And when the thief came to my house to attack me, I was unprepared to do battle. He tempted me and I felt powerless. Like I said, I also felt very stupid because I could have avoided this incident if I had just taken time to pray. I believe some of us have made this same mistake. Time and time again, we have made this same mistake. And I am here tonight with a burden on my heart to impress upon you the need to turn on your security system, to activate it, because God has provided it for you. Very recently, I was talking to a man who is having serious domestic problems. He's a professing Christian. His wife is a professing Christian. And I say to this man, with his serious marital problems, do you and your wife take time to pray? Do you both hold each other's hands, kneel by your bedside, and speak to God in prayer? Because you've been married a number of years now. You both profess to know and love the Lord. Do you make that a habit? Is that part of your daily schedule? He was silent and he shook his head. He says, no, we don't do that. I say to him, no wonder you're having troubles. We don't do that. You see, she has a full schedule. She lives her own life. She goes her own way, and I go mine. I have to rise early. I really don't have the time to do anything except the bare essentials. I said, look, this is important. This should be considered an essential part of your daily life. Before being involved in any other activity, activate your security system. You know, at this Christmas time, I'm not bringing you a Christmas message tonight, but at this Christmas time, people think about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is an important bit of information given to us in Matthew's Gospel chapter 2 concerning the young child, Jesus Christ. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and says to him, Joseph, take the young child and his mother, Mary. Get them out of this place. Take them down to the land of Egypt, because his very life is in danger. And you don't want anything to happen to that precious little life. Therefore, get him out, get him down to Egypt. And we see that little family, Mary, Joseph, with the young child, on their journey to Egypt, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Now that was part of God's security system for his well-beloved son. Because God had a plan for our Lord to fulfill, a purpose for him to fulfill in this world. And the purposes of God cannot be thwarted. They must be accomplished. Therefore, nothing can take place in the life of the Savior until his work is completed. And it was part of his security system, a part of God's plan, that our Lord should be preserved from the danger and the threat of this murderous king. I visit the Bahama Islands occasionally when the brethren there are exercised to invite me to come, and health conditions permit for me to go, and my schedule allows for a trip to the Bahamas, I go. A few years ago, I got the invitation to Nassau. Went over to Nassau. The brethren took me to an apartment that they have upstairs, the chapel. Second floor apartment. And when I got inside their beautifully furnished apartment, looked in the kitchen, have a nice stove, a refrigerator, with a big freezer section up on top. And I peeked in the freezer section. It was packed with all kinds of good things. Roasts and fish and lamb and what have you. And underneath, everything that is needed for any normal household. Look in the cupboards in the kitchen, the pantry. A lot of canned stuff, potatoes, bread, and all that is required. Vegetables in abundance. Oh my, this place is well stocked. I'm sure I'd be comfortable here. Look in the bedroom. Got two single beds side by side. My wife was not with me on that occasion. She didn't come until a few days later. But comfortable bedroom. Very nicely furnished. They have an air conditioner in the bedroom. Turned it on. I said, boy, this is noisy. Makes one. This thing may keep me awake. So what do? I open the door. Leading from the bedroom to the living room. Go out in the living room and I say to myself, we're on the second floor. It's okay to open the window and let that nice, cool ocean breeze fan me while I sleep. I'll enjoy that lovely breeze coming over the water. And that's what I did. enjoying a good, deep sleep. Sometime after midnight, there was a flashlight on the bedside table for my convenience if needed. But then I saw a bright light being beamed right into my face. Good goodness. Woke up. Who is that? And I hear a voice saying, where is your wallet? Thief had broken in. How did he get in here? I'm up on the second floor. I know I left the window open, but I had no idea that a guy could be so skillful to climb up from the street level, second floor, get in through the bed, through the living room window, and into the bedroom, pick up my flashlight. He's asking me, where is your wallet? I don't think I ever was a brave man. But I thought that wisdom would be better part of valor. Let's tell him where the wallet is. I said, I'll get up and find it for you. He says, no, you lie down and tell me where it is. If you get up, there is bloodshed in here tonight. Those are serious words, don't you think so? Here he is, standing over me, with my flashlight in his hand. Well, I meekly talked to him for a little while. And all he would say is, money, money. I talked with him for a while. Told him he needs something more than money. He needs the Lord. He says, money. That's all I want tonight, money. I said, all right. You'll find my wallet. Told him exactly where it was. Then take out the money. That's you want, what you want. Leave everything else. Leave my papers in there. But just take the money and you may go. He meekly went, took the wallet, took out the money. Wasn't a great deal in there. There seldom is. But he helped himself and left the wallet on the dresser. He didn't even tell me good night, but he turned around with the flashlight as if wondering, is this man going to get up? But I didn't get up. I didn't follow him. But he went out to the living room, and I heard him mumbling. I wondered, is somebody with him? Is it two of them out there talking? After a while, the talking ceased, and I figured, maybe he's gone. I mustered enough courage to get out of bed, take my flashlight and look to see. Well, everything in order. The window was wide open, and there was a long piece of lumber, maybe a 2x4, that he had dragged from under the cottage next door, taking that, leaned it up, and he climbed up. I guess if it was a pipe, by one of these supporting pipes for the beams, he would have climbed it just the same. Some people are skilled in doing that. And that enabled him to get up to the second floor. But when I went outside, I noticed the refrigerator is empty. The freezer is empty. This guy must have had a big bag. One of you brought a truck here. The pantry cupboards were almost bare. He just helped himself to everything that he could possibly carry. And away he went. Right. I said to myself, it's a pity we didn't have a proper security system in this building. We all suffered some loss. In a short while, I phoned one of the brethren, told him what had happened, and he came over, kept my company for a little while. He came with a great big stick. I said, you don't need your stick now. The guy is gone. But it was a very uncomfortable experience. And I can imagine what it means for people to be robbed. And then I was thinking, when I got this email about the security system, the thief, I figured that God is very interested in arrangements he has made for the safety and the security of his people. Because whether we like it or not, we are being observed. There is someone who is trying to get us. We do have an enemy. The Bible calls him your adversary, the devil. What does he do? The scriptures say he walks about. He's not stationary. He walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking who will be his next victim. And I tell you, he is very busy. Not only in the offices and the business places of the country. Not only is he busy among the politicians and the administrators of this country, but he is busy in the homes, and he is busy in the churches. He is busy in the assemblies. He has done a lot of damage. And Jesus Christ our Lord says, calls him a thief. And he says, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, to destroy. And we have seen some of his nefarious activities and damaging work, even in the churches of the living God. But we have the assurance of salvation. Thank God for salvation. And not only salvation, but justification, sanctification, and eventually glorification. God has arrangements made for our safety and our security. He doesn't want us to be caught off guard. He doesn't want us to be attacked from the rear. When we're not looking, somebody plays a dirty trick and gets us down. Oh, may God help us to activate the security system that He has so graciously provided. He looked at His people and He says, I know that you're going to have problems. I know that there is going to be some criminal activity. I know that some folk will be in danger. Their very lives will be in danger. And so, I am going to provide what you may call cities of refuge. I'm going to provide places where the person who is being pursued, whose life may be in danger, where he can run and he will be safe. Well, thank God there is a place of quiet rest. And it's near to the heart of God. We sing sometimes, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice till its rapture all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Thank God we can come to our Lord Jesus Christ. We can enter into His holy presence. We can commune with Him and have our security system activated 365 days every year. If there's a leap year, the extra day too. Have it activated and be prepared. And I say to you this evening, in a little while we close this meeting and we're all homeward bound. But I say to you, even before the night is out, somebody here may be tempted. Somebody here may be tried. Someone here in our congregation may be attacked by the enemy. You know what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians? He says to them, the weapons of our warfare, make sure that you have them all in place and be ready. Make sure you activate your security system. And I want you to know, Paul says to the Corinthians, that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can have victory in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Victory is provided for God's people because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. At the Fort Lauderdale Bible Chapel, the last person leaving the building at night, usually one of the leading brethren, one of the elders, or a couple of the brethren, they have the responsibility. We all know that the last person leaving the building ensures that it's not only locked, but that the alarm is set. They have a security system in place there. And it should be activated every evening. Whenever the building is being vacated, activated. We have had one or two problems there years past. And we are of the opinion that because the building is in that particular area, it is a wise thing to have a security system. There are three things I will leave with you tonight. Three words I would like you to keep in mind. The first one is recognize your danger. Recognize your danger. For whether you realize it or not, you and I are in dangerous territory. Dangers hovering around. I think of our children in school. They're in danger. I don't know if we know what is being taught to them in the public schools today. I don't know if we are being alerted to the fact that our little ones are being told there must be no admixture of church and state philosophies. The two things are entirely separate. They want to have Christmas celebrations, but Christmas without Christ. A couple of years ago, I was told that in a school right here in South Florida, a teacher was asking students in her class, "What are the Christmas songs that you like? Tell me, let's make a list of all the nice Christmas songs that you know." And one by one, the kids responded. They raised their hands and they gave the response. One kid says, "Jingle Bells." He says, "Oh, that's a beautiful Christmas song." Another one says, "Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer." That's fine. One says, "First Day of Christmas." And they peeled off a number of these pretty songs. "Dashing Through the Snow." "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." He says, fine. One little girl says, "Away in a Manger." Teacher says, no, that's a church song. And we don't sing church songs at school. That's a church song. Forget that. In our public schools. Christmas. But they can't sing Away in a Manger. They can't sing Silent Night. Oh, no. You sing that in church. They'd rather show them a film. I don't know if you know the documentary called It's Elementary. And little kids are being shown It's Elementary. In other words, they're introducing the children to an alternative lifestyle. The husband and wife in the family setting, they are not the only recognized authentic American family. You can have Jim and Joe being mommy and daddy. Or Lucy and Mary can set up a home and they can live together and adopt children. Our young people are being taught the enemy is attacking. And our young folk are in danger. So are their parents and their grandparents as well. But thank God we have a security system that, if activated, can give us the assurance of safety. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. And he deceives. You remember how Jacob was deceived? I know a Christian brother in Kingston, Jamaica. He was walking along the sidewalk one day and he's approached and shown a beautiful watch. The youngster who showed him the watch said, "You may have it for $20. He said, "Well, this is a bargain. Where'd you get this watch from?" And they arranged that the watch would be sold for $20. And the man says, "You give me the money. So he gave him $20. And he's about to take the watch. The man said, "Let me polish it for you. Polish it." And in his polishing of the watch, he switched that watch and gave him a little $2 watch. And then he disappeared. So this guy, he is telling me, he says, I was a stranger and they took me in. I was deceived. I said, good thing it was only $20. I sold some Bibles to a lady who had a Christian a store in Port Maria, Jamaica. She used to carry a lot of Bibles and hymnals for us, and I supplied her with some books. This is years ago. And I said to her, all right, when you sell them, give me the money so I'll get some more. Tells me she had sold the books. I go to her store, and I remember her giving me a $100 bill for a couple of Bibles she had sold. $100. Fine. I took it to the bank when I got there to deposit this money. The teller says, sorry, Mr. Hart, but I can't give you back this money. I said, I don't want it back. I want it put in my account. Well, it can either be deposited to your account nor returned to you because it's bogus. It's a counterfeit. Lost it. Where'd you get it from? Overseas. Lost the $100 bill. Deceived. The enemy. A master of deception and a master of attacking and fooling people. But God has provided for us, if we would only activate the security system He has provided, we need not, we should not, we should never be deceived. The Lord says, take heed that no man deceive you. Recognize your danger. Recognize the fact that our enemy, our adversary, the devil, he is focusing his attention on you, your movements, your words, your attitudes, your lifestyle. He is looking for an opportunity to trip you up, to attack you, to get you down. May God help us to recognize our danger. Now, when you recognize your danger, memorize the code. First word I want you to remember is recognize. The second one is memorize the code. You need to know the code. You need to know how to get in touch with the Lord, how to receive the assistance, the wisdom, the protection that you need. It's no use going to the keypad wondering, well, what do I do? What numbers do I punch? How do I activate this system? You must have it firmly established in your mind and in your heart. Memorize the code. Don't you ever forget to do this. It's interesting to read in the book of Deuteronomy these words that I command you this day, Deuteronomy chapter 6. It shall be in your heart. Teach them diligently to your children. And David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And at least nine times in the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites were warned, forget not, beware, lest thou forget the Lord your God. So, week after week, those who come to this platform reiterate the gospel. We want it to sink in. We want you to memorize it, to know it. And it's as simple as ABC. Acknowledge your weakness. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge when you have done wrong. Then believe that there is someone there to help you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Confess Him before men, and before the Father, confess of our blessed Lord. Memorize the code. So recognize your danger, memorize the code, and exercise your privilege. You have the privilege of meeting with the Master, going into His presence, morning, noon, or night, at any hour of the day or night, you have access into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Savior says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. There's an interesting and a beautiful lady of whom we read in the Old Testament scriptures. Her name was Esther, and she had not received an invitation to go into the king's presence. But she decided she had to go. She had a burden on her heart, and she needed to see that man sitting on the throne. And so she says to her companions, says, I'm going, put on her royal apparel. She looked her best. She says, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going into his presence, uninvited. Thank God you and I have an invitation. The scriptures that you are studying here on Wednesday evenings, I believe, in the book of Hebrews, studying in Hebrews, there is a beautiful verse there inviting us to come boldly to the throne of grace where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. So exercise your privilege of going into the King's presence, activating your security system, because when you have a little talk with Jesus, it makes things right. All right. When you have a time of fellowship and communion with Him, you are refreshed, you are strengthened, you are then enabled to put on the whole armor of God, enabling you to stand, and having done all, to stand against the wiles of the enemy. So I encourage you, activate your security system. Recognize your danger, memorize the code, and exercise your privilege, because our great high priest, he invites us to enter inside the veil and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. May God bless His word to our hearts. And my prayer for you all. And I include myself in that prayer. I pray that we be preserved from the cunning devices of the enemy of our souls. That whenever he strikes, whenever he attacks, whenever he tempts and seeks to overthrow us, we will be not only on our guard, but we will be safe and secure. There's a song we sing sometimes, and I notice it is sung often at funeral services, safe in the arms of Jesus. But I tell you something, we don't have to wait until we pass from time into eternity to be safe in the arms of Jesus. Right now, while we're alive, while we're here on planet Earth, we can be safe and secure in His arms, knowing underneath are His everlasting arms, and He will not fail us. So often we fail Him. But I believe with all my heart, these three words that we see in a plaque sometimes, Jesus never fails. Trust Him. He is our defense. He is our high tower. He is the rock of our salvation. He is our security system. And what can man do David asked. I won't fear what man shall do unto me, for the Lord is my helper. He's my protector. He is my security. I believe when once a person is saved by the grace of God, born of the Spirit of God, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed from his sins, he is safe not only for time, but for all eternity. It is an eternal salvation. But day by day, we need to ensure that we activate that security system by realizing our danger, memorizing the code, and exercising ourselves in the holy art of going into his presence and receiving from him the grace that is needed for every new day. Shall we bow in prayer? Lord, as we bring this session to a close, we pray that your holy word may linger in our hearts, and that all of us gathered here will take the necessary precautions to ensure that we are in the center of your holy will,